Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And this week we are talking about The Order 1886, which is a third-person shooter developed by Ready at Dawn and published by Sony for the PS4 in 2015.
Say order.
Say order.
Say order.
Yeah.
Made a little joke about that on internet. It didn't do the numbers I wanted to, so I'm giving it to this audience.
I think that you're banking on a little bit more recognition of the order.
Oh, no way, man. Every kid's in the halls today, yeah. Like teens.
Everybody's talking about the order.
Everyone's talking about the order. I got a friend with kids. They're all wearing order shirts.
Yep. Just writing there the order knack 2 fan fiction.
Yeah. AO3 is order pilled. A bunch of kids got Galahad tattoos. They're temporary. They came with gum. Yeah. You know, man, order fever. It's sketching the nation. Yeah. Order. Love the order. This is our premium episode for this month.
Yes.
Which means that everyone's getting this first part. Patrons will get the entire play-by-play of the thing, as well as the bonus episodes for last month, next month, and previous months in the past.
Yeah. We think it's a good value. And this is going to be a bit of a shorter episode, if we're being honest with you.
Look, by design.
By design, you know? Yes.
So, like, this is not... here's the thing. Here's the order. Here's my tight five on the order. We had to do something short because we did Grand Theft Auto 6 or 5,
yeah,
which is conservatively three times as long as what we usually do for a game. So we had to have two short games. When a game has a story behind it, I always think the game itself is worth talking about. This is with everything. So this is like Crysis. I thought about this. You know, I don't want to support Hogwarts Legacy at all, obviously, but I was very happy when I saw the first review that talked about the game.
Right.
You know, like the game is always going to matter to me, you know, what the thing is. This is a game that has a reputation. The reputation is simply that it is short and became the center of attention for a dollar to time ratio.
Right. Argument. At a very vulnerable time, I would say, for the industry.
Yes.
You know, once I learned the joke of the order short.
Yes.
We want to kind of peek behind that, right? Because there's got to be something there.
There's something there. Like, so I don't think this is a good video game.
No.
So, you know, don't get it twisted. I'm not coming out there and saying, like, you got to play the order. I find the order a little bit charming, and we'll talk about why. There are a couple of things it does that I do think are very cool.
Yeah.
The other thing is that I'm very invested in that argument. Like, this is not a game worth your time. It has nothing to do with how much money it cost.
Exactly. This is a very weak argument for the notion that there needs to be a space in the market for short single player games.
Yes. If they were all like this, people would be right.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's not a choice, you know, with that. Like, there are tons of short single player games that are great. This just happens to be a bad one. But also, again, there's a couple things that I think are charming. There's also somebody's whole heart in this.
Yeah.
That I feel like is impossible not to pick up. Like, this, somebody really cares about this world building. It is not a phoned in game.
No.
You know, so it's, I want to give it that credit, even if that credit is making fun of, like one of the worst collections of mechanics we've had in a game.
Yeah. And you know? Like instantly really, really dated. Like this is so emblematic of a whole strain of design that thankfully is less common nowadays.
Yes. But we've still fallen happens. Into
a bunch. Yeah, it still happens. It's still incorporated as parts of other things. This is just hyper concentrated as far as that goes. Right. And like these things are incorporated into a bunch of other stuff that is embarrassing in its own ways. But like this is such a time capsule. Well, while not being like visually or presentationally very dated at all.
Well, yeah. Well, also, I would say visually and presentationally, pretty good.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing that makes it interesting, so I'm glad you brought that up, the thing about the concentration. Here's my thesis statement for the Order, the thing I came to, other than the interesting things we'll talk about when we get to them. The shooting in this game, not appreciably worse than most games I play.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not good. But like, and I'm not fighting. This is not my Pokemon. So there's no fighting Pokemon. I didn't catch this Pokemon. I have no interest in this Pokemon. Mm-hmm. But like, the moment to moment shooting does not feel that appreciably different than like Mass Effect to me. Like in terms of you just cover, shoot, pop out, hit heads. You know. So when you talk about dilution, that's the Order's like again underscore Order's trick. In addition to short, is it has this thing that we commonly accept as a building block for a game that is loved. But it only has that.
Yeah.
And it makes me want it. What I want people to take from that is to look at these games that we love that have this shitty shooting and call out that shooting too.
Yeah.
Just and because you're surrounded with other stuff doesn't make it good, you know?
Yeah. But I also think like the shooting is the atomic part of it, but the shooting is almost never the only thing. This shooting would be perfectly serviceable in better levels and better encounters.
Yeah, too. Of course.
Yeah. is the thing.
For so, sure. Like yeah. Even down to that level, I don't think this is a huge outlier in terms of like level design and stuff. Like the same way you like walk up and you just see, oh, it's a shooting gallery with waist high walls.
Yeah, yeah.
That happens all the time. That's just video games. Yeah. But if you don't obfuscate it with systems around it, it's really noticeable.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, why not just make that fucking better? Like, pay attention to that, too. Don't just make a game out of these weird ready-made game kit bits. Yeah. Because any one of those kits is how you're spending a lot of your time in the game kind of sucks. And if you don't think that it sucks, here, play 6 hours of just that. And see how it feels.
The metaphor that I came up with is like nobody really fucking loves Nougat, right?
Yeah, it's a filler aeration agent.
Though. Yeah, it's put there to reduce shipping weight, basically.
Yes.
This is like one of a Three Musketeers bar. Didn't even have the chocolate around it. Like, what if this was all just unflavored Nougat?
it's so what it is it's like if a Snickers bar has like everything in it.
Yes.
You know, and like, let's call the mediocre shooting the peanuts. Nobody gets that excited about a peanut. It's a peanut. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a single peanut floating in a sea of nougat as opposed to surrounded by caramel, nougat, chocolate, all the other things.
Yeah.
You know, that the thing is, I don't think is worse than a good candy bar. You know, it's still a peanut. The peanut tastes fine. No. It's just what does the peanut look like when you don't have stuff next to it?
Yeah, it's you know? it's pretty it's not sufficient is what it is. My journey with the Order here was, you know, went into it looking for a redemption, right?
Yep.
Thinking, okay, this thing was written off
like Singularity.
This was written off for any number of reasons that feel on their face like bad criticisms, like not substantial, right? Like are, you know, just second or third order concerns, right? And so I went in really wanting to go to bat for this thing, right? Which I understand is bad criticism, but you know, we all have our postures when we walk into this stuff. And like I wasn't for like the first half of it, this was a game that made me feel nothing. But when I saw how little it added up to, then I started getting mad.
It doesn't make me mad because of that bit earlier with like somebody, again, somebody's whole heart is in this.
Yes.
You know, like there to me, I'm a little charmed by that. And charm is it never spends with me, you know, it's rare, but no, just, well, and it it also clocks up to, something like we'll talk about later. Mm-hmm. When's the last time you played a game? And this is me reaching for compliments for the Order 1886.
Yeah.
I understand that. But when's the last time you played a game with this little direct exposition? You know, like, I love that about this. Like, the they don't have you're just in the world. Like there's this whole alt history thing. Sometimes you learn a little bit of it, but they're just people just drop things like, oh yeah, we haven't seen the queen in like decades. That plot line never gets picked up.
No,
it just
no.
adds to this weird like feeling of like, this is very confident in its storytelling, which is very strange.
Yeah.
A lot more so than a lot of other games, which would sit down and explain everything to you.
Yeah.
You know, I really like that about it. I think that that's a really cool bit. It kept me invested, even if it didn't add up to anything except for the first act of a game that half-released and they didn't get a sequel like they might have.
It's two-thirds of a full game that was never going to be a full story on its own.
Yes, two-thirds of the first third of a story.
Yeah. Something I want to like kind of call attention to, two of the things that stand out, in what you're talking about, like, yes, there is charm here. And also somebody put their whole heart into this. How many times in the past has that never been enough for us? Like somebody put their whole heart into Norco too. I just want to, keep it in context of the way we look. Right.
Again, go back to my comments. This is not a good game. I think people should play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to bat for it. Mm-hmm. I'm saying there's a little bit more to, you know, there's a little bit more to it than the story, I guess.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the way this puts its whole heart into it does feel, in the context this was released as like a AAA tech demo for a new system, does feel, the confidence feels rare in that story. The story itself is not great. But it'd be like watching, you know, Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters or like the Underworld films if they didn't stop and explain stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like I really like that about it. Like I found myself kind of weirdly compelled by the story, even though it went fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. It's a little reaching. I'm not saying I like the game. I'm just saying that there is slightly more here. And I think that the comparison with Norco is interesting in that like things don't live in a vacuum, right? Like this is something I've spent my entire awareness of it hearing it slammed, so it's easier to hear good things about it, whereas everyone was telling me Norco is the best thing since God on Wheels.
You can't control your posture walking into it is basically the same thing I said. Wanted to walk into this looking for a redemption story, because fucking that's how stories work.
It's fun. it's fun to be able to be like, here's this hidden gem. You know, everyone slept on this, you should really check it out. By no means should you check this out. There are worse ways to spend 6 hours. It's like watching an Underworld film, basically. Like it's like paced like a movie. If you have the budget in your heart for some mediocre shooting galleries and then like two sci-fi originals, you know, that are slightly better than average.
Yeah.
It's probably that.
Right. This is, the content of this roughly is, a 6-episode streaming series that I would not have watched because the premise would have sounded too dorky for me.
The premise would have sounded cool to me. I would have watched it, but then I would have probably been frustrated when it didn't get picked up for a second season or got canceled 6 episodes out of 8, which is what this feels like a little bit. Let's get into it. We play as an incredibly serious man. One of the things I do find charming about this is how fucking serious everyone takes it.
Yes.
You're a Grayson, Sir Galahad, who is part of this Arthurian order of knights, and you've been tasked to deal with these enemies of the crown in this alternate steampunk Victorian London.
Right.
So it's not medieval times. You're not that kind of order of knights.
Yeah, like weirdly, we're going to a bunch of the same places that we were in Vampyre.
Yeah,
which is wild. When we say enemies of the crown, what we're talking about, like there are rebels, people trying to, act against the United India Company, which is kind of a government in and of itself, and also werewolves, aka lichens, aka something that grated on me every time they said it. Half-breeds.
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out why they were half-breeds.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, there are proper werewolves, those exist, but the other ones are half-breeds. It is period accurate dialogue to colonialists.
Yeah,
to Racism Island.
Yeah. We don't need to camp out on the politics, but when the first mission is going and shooting escaped mental patients and saying there are half-breeds among them, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that also I laughed. at that as being just the out of stepness.
Yeah.
Like, not time to take a big sip of coffee and make the Order 1886.
Let's pop open this, in the script and review this bad boy. Uh-oh. Yeah.
So you are doing tunnels and hallways, alleyways, and every once in a while an open shooting gallery.
Maybe.
In alternate history London. So the supernatural is real, and technology has advanced beyond what has existed in our own version of 1886, in some cases beyond what we have now.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah.
All that sounds cool to me as a, as a setup, you know, like, oh, I'm going to go back. I'm going to outfit for different missions and stuff. No, it's a third person cover shooter. You know, like Uncharted, kind of. You don't do as much climbing and like, now it's time to have an exploration sequence. Instead, you do a walk.
Yeah.
This has this intense desire to be cinematic at all times, down to letterboxing things. And integrating, again, this is a, I guess, a virtue. It's a virtue I don't care about. But when you got to hand it to the Grinch, you got to hand it to the Grinch, I guess. ISIL. The mixing its cinematics with its shooting parts. Like, they transition very seamlessly.
Yeah, to the point where sometimes I didn't realize that it was handy control back over to me.
Yeah, me too. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm supposed to shoot now.
But this is very much like third-person shooters of its time. You have two weapons. You have your main weapon and a sidearm. And I want to camp out on this. The weapons are kind of neat. Like,
I agree.
It's not. It is not just the standard. Like, oh, here's a revolver. Here's a here's an auto or a semi-auto pistol. Here's a shotgun. Here's a rifle. There are like varieties of each of them.
Yes.
And like, you know, so there's like a big heavy like hand cannon revolver, and there's one that fires two shots.
Yes.
With each of them, you know, like the crazy coachman shotgun versus the kind of like standard kind of tight blast one, like the incendiary shotgun versus that. And then like the little set piece weapons that you get.
The sci-fi super weapons.
Yeah. The Tesla cannon and the thermite. I love the thermite
thing's great.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's genuinely a new idea, which I like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really, really cool. We'll talk about that when we get into it. Generally, also, I'll go to bat for the kinesthetics of the weapons. Things are loud and have big impact. We talk about how guns need to sound loud in video games. They sound loud.
And you're fighting against enemies, you know, for as much as I find the level design to be pretty wanting in counter design, like, this is different from most other third person shooters insofar as like enemies are very aggressive. They will rush you.
Yes.
They will come around behind you. Like, it is not, you know, tethered in such a way where, you know, the enemies are stationary. Right. You got to keep a pretty good situational awareness on.
You're not allowed to just watch somebody duck their head out of something, then stick your cursor there and just wait for them to do it again. You know, which again, that happened in Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah,
like that is still a thing here. So good buttons.
Grand Theft Auto 5 came out before this.
Oh, that's true. It just feels recent because they keep updating it. That is a thing that I have noticed in more recent games. You also have grenades. You have frag grenades and smoke grenades, both of which can be cooked. Smoke grenades to provide cover for switching between, you know, vantages. Frag grenades for fragging things. You will be doing the same kind of shooting, though, for the same for the most of the game. There's a couple sniping sections. There is a rocket launcher section. There is a stealth section.
Right.
Other than that, though, you basically walk into a shooting gallery, take cover, and then manage the shooting gallery.
Right.
Like a very specific version of, you know, Arcade Paradise.
And then okay, sorry, I didn't realize you're making a joke there. This is kind of underlined or accented with something called Black Sight.
Yes.
Which is kind of analogous to the Red Dead Redemption Deadeye system. This is a meter, and you enter into this kind of like slow down, time stop kind of thing, immediately target the nearest enemy, and then you can just rapid fire until it's dead.
Yes, you can switch targets during this. You'll do a lot of damage. This is really good. You know, we talked about the AI rushing you a lot. This is very good to save for that. Shotguns don't fuck around.
No.
In this, and you are fairly fragile in this game.
Yeah.
There's a very minor stealth system. You do a little QTE as you approach the enemy. If you get seen, they just shoot you immediately in the head.
Oh yeah.
just absolute crack shot bullseye shit. Like,
yeah.
Execute you.
This is not really a stealth system. Like,
no.
if you are seen, yeah. it is instant fail on top of instant fail QTEs. The only way, like the new idea in this is, as you're approaching an enemy for a stealth takedown, it'll bring up the button prompt that you're supposed to hit, and then you'll see a converging circle over the prompt. You have to press it within the right window of time. If you go too early, you'll miss them, and then they'll turn around and shoot you instantly.
Yeah. So there's a little bit of a timing system to that, but it's not a game where the different encounters, you have different ways of doing it.
No.
So you're not choosing stealth. You're just like plop down into the stealth zone. Mm-hmm. It's incredibly modal, and that fucking sucks.
Yes.
Most of the time you just fight humans in this. There are only a couple of werewolf encounters in the game. You only fight a few werewolves. They are rare and powerful. No. Is the idea. I find these hilarious as encounters. The AI on the humans, I think, you know, the way they're aggressive and everything and kind of will flank you seems kind of good to me. The AI on the werewolves is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They do shuttle runs at you. Mm-hmm. They're running, like they're doing laps in a pool and you're the end that they're going to tap. Like they run at you, tackle you. You get a little QTE prompt, like you have to press a button to get out of the way. And then they run back at you, look at you, run back towards you. Mm-hmm. And in between that time, you have to shoot them before you have to dodge.
Yeah.
That's it. They're weirdly like a shooting gallery. They're like the little things that move forward and backwards on a shooting gallery.
Yep.
You know?
And like, even though there might be multiple werewolves in an encounter, only one will ever be attacking you at a time.
The other ones go off and hang out.
What I find amazing, I laughed the second time that it happened, and then the third time I was like, "You got to be fucking kidding me! You always fight them in warehouses."
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about like a dude who got his hand caught in the hinges of a door when it was closing, and then when it's a full moon, he turns into a house. I'm talking like it is literally like you walk into a room and there are a bunch of shelves with boxes on them. You're like, "Well, fuck, werewolves."
Well, they're pronounced it's werewolf or warehouse, WERE house.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, it's not you turn into it. It's just the houses where they're at, where they store
them. It is the warehouse. Yeah. Yes,
And
like that's not unusual. Like the same thing happens in Dead Space 2 with the aliens that are kind of like raptors. Like you'll walk into a room and you can tell, like, hey, this geometry is designed for their particular AI.
Yes,
like they know what kind of encounter they're going to get you in. So you walk into a room in Dead Space with a bunch of like waist high walls. Well, here these come.
Yes.
They could have done a little bit better theming than just like, oh, here's where we keep our tubers and our grains and like big boxes of screws. And then that just happens to be where lichens are.
Yeah. They love the taste of the potato.
Yeah.
The lichen. They love the tube. You know, and again, when we're saying all these things, the thing that I think will be a fun critical exercise for us and then also the audience, think about how many games do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want you to come away from this praising The Order 1886. I want people to come away from this liking other games less.
Good Lord, Gary.
Because they do all the same shit. Expect better of them. Like, you shouldn't like it when a game is like, oh, I see the type of room, so I know the kind of enemy I'm going to fight now.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Here it is fully on displayed in an exaggerated way to illustrate the point, you know?
Other game developers should be very upset with The Order 1886 for laying bare
all of their problems. I know. Yeah. Right. Like it's just, you get one revive per chapter. You drink this substance called Blackwater, that you keep in a fun little drink on your neck, like a St. Bernard. So you hit the ground, you have a few beats to mash the button to get back up and do this. You can crawl while you're drinking your black water to get into better cover. You can also die during this. It's not ceremonial.
No.
You know, it is a dynamic concern for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a very linear game. If that didn't come across before, you're mostly in hallways. You got tunnels. It opens up into arenas sometimes. There are set piece stuff, set piece things. It was galling when I would start a new chapter and suddenly we're in the underground again.
Yeah. You spend a lot of time in these hallways. It's that's frustrating. It's also frustrating because very similar to Vampyr. I would love to explore these areas in a more meaningful way.
Yeah.
You know, the same way Vampyr's levels just turned out to be combat hallways. You know, in the end, that were disguised as something you might want to actually look around. Yeah. This game does that as well. Yeah. I would love to, you know, I like the set design of this. I like how it looks.
You built a world. Let me see it, please.
100%. Yeah. And, the, you know, or let me read the tie-in comic book that somehow doesn't exist. Fuck. Like, how is this not a transmedia property?
I'm skeptical of how interesting this would be as a different thing.
No, I don't think it would be interesting. It just has the vibe of like,
okay.
You
were saying it like you were thirsty, man.
No. It seems like it should exist.
Yes, you know, it does, like, have that stank on it. Yeah.
It very much feels like, oh, this is a tie-in thing for like a fast follow on League of Extraordinary Gentlemen or something.
Yeah.
You know? The other thing you do is like weird walk and talks and cinematics. Hilariously, these are sometimes full chapters. There are 17 chapters in this game, which range from like, you know, 40 minutes of shooting to a 3-minute cutscene.
Yeah.
Can be a chapter.
Yeah. Pacing game wild.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. During some of the minor exploration things that you do, well, they're instant fail QTEs during the cinematic, so you can't just lay back and pay attention or and just watch the thing. But during the minor exploration sections, you do the game release between 2009 and 2021 trick of here's a collectible. Then you pick it up and then you rotate the right stick to look at it from every angle. Yeah.
They don't put anything on the, you know, you can flip over pieces of paper that you do this with. And sometimes there's writing on the back, but there's not, this isn't Resident Evil where you're looking for like hidden switches and shit.
No.
This is just your guy can do this like a weird Android.
Point of frustration on this. Many of these are documents or newspapers. I would like to read these. However, the print is very small and it is stylized. There is no button to press to just like bring up raw
text.
In order to read it. So like I would have liked to have learned more about this world and what was going on and see reports, like see how the press reported on the big catastrophe that I caused or whatever. But you just kind of can't do it.
I would have liked that too. It contributes to something, again, I find, if I'm stretching my brain a little bit, charming, which is the lack of exposition. You know, the idea that you get a very strange kind of vertical slice of this world with a couple of intriguing bits. You know, so lots of bits that are very generic and, again, like underworld style. Quality of things. But like, like everyone is rebelling against the queen, but the queen hasn't been seen. In like, you know, all that stuff that I think is pretty interesting. Whatever I find compelling about that is probably more satisfying than the answer that the Order 1886's writers would have come up with.
Yes.
So I would have liked to have had that stuff too, but I didn't want to turn this into a Codex Fest because I like the questions more than the answers, I guess.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Generally though, I 1000% agree. There should be things in this, you know, cucks for incident over here. You know, we talked about why we're covering this, which seems weird. So go back to that. In terms of aesthetics, this game looks great, I think.
Oh, yeah. No.
Holds up pretty well. Even to this day, there's some very awkward animations and stuff, but the environments look very good. You know, and the cutscenes look very good, I think.
If I can lodge any complaint against the way that it looks, I think that it is a little drab. But it is, you know, Victorian London, so there's kind of an established visual language for that. The character design I think is really good. The lichens look really good to me. The costume design I think is really on point for all these knights wearing cool shit. And one of the reasons that this looks really good, it's not like the models are especially high detail. Which they, you know, they are, because you're going to be spending a lot of, you know, time close up on their face, but like that's not where this like kind of sticks out. It is in their dogged adherence to mimicking film optics. Like what they are doing with depth of field, what they are doing with film grain, what they are doing with like lens effects, like all of that, you know, does I think put like this patina of like visual cohesion over it that you wouldn't get if this was just, you know, presented as straight polygons.
Yeah.
Right. So like that element of design, I think, can be a little bit hard to put your finger on. But if you are looking for those little things, you can see like, oh yeah, this all kind of like adds up to something that looks and feels really good. Yes. And it's super smart because all of that actually makes this easier to run. So they were able to like do more with the PS5 than what a lot of other, or with PS4, than what a lot of other studios were able to do. And it actually ended up like costing less technically because so much of what you see is done in kind of like these post filters, based on what I read. So like it's very smartly done, let's say.
It's one of those things to head off gotchas. Like, I hate it when games try to be movies. Mm-hmm. It's not like I all of a sudden like that.
Yeah.
You know, one of the reasons why I extend this, you know, the modicum I give it of charm is that it's a game that I think is going for filmic effect and going for movie stuff, but actually uses other bits of the language of cinema.
Yeah.
And I'll explain that. What I mean is, one, you know, that lack of exposition. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not that, but also there's like montage in this.
Yeah.
You don't see everyone walk down hallways to completion.
Yeah.
You know, it is being choosy in what it's choosing to show us. There are time skips mm-hmm. that feel cinematic. You know, it's not just taking the visual language of cinema, but none of the other language of it. Like, it's paced very weird for a game. Mm-hmm. I think it actually is paced like, you know, like low rent prestige TV.
Yeah, you know, except lower end prestige TV would not spend the time on these shootouts that you do.
No, of course not.
Yeah,
other than the shootouts. But I mean, the other parts do, which is mm-hmm. rare. Like, you know, you watch, like every once in a while, a game will pull that off. Like, I think that like The Last of Us does that really well.
Yeah.
You know, for example, but a lot of games that are cinematic are weird exposition fests that show your character walking to the roof for some reason.
You know,
shit like that. Yeah. The other shout out I want to give it aesthetically is I think mm-hmm. the voice acting is good in this. Everyone is taking it very seriously with absolutely ludicrous material.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying lines like, you know, the queen will neutralize the Lycan threat and shit like that. Just the dumbest thing you've ever heard in your fucking life.
Yeah.
But everyone is no one's cracking a smile during this, which I also kind of appreciate in an awe.
Yeah.
You know, sci-fi like original, but like they care about it.
To clarify what I was saying about like, this looking like a film, I'm not talking about like the operating on telling story with little interaction or, you know, making it like content wise, not praising it for being content wise, like a film. I'm speaking specifically about like the way that
visual
the
effects.
Effect that is put on it is mimicking another medium in a subtle and cool way.
What I'm saying is that is working in concert with the storytelling stuff, which is a little bit more cinematic as well. Like it is a more unified front with that than most games are.
Yeah.
But not all.
Yeah. I saw people praising the soundtrack on this. I don't remember anything. I couldn't hum you a tune from it. I think it's just workmanlike. I think that it satisfies, you know?
Yeah.
Like
I don't remember a lot of it, but I remember thinking it was fine.
Yeah.
Like
we said, people put a lot of effort into building this world. You know, the story ultimately is just underworld movies, but what if it was Victorian? What if we had Abraham Lincoln vampire hunter kind of stuff?
Knights of the Round versus werewolves.
This is loaded with historical characters, like the Marquis de Lafayette is a major character in this, one of the most interesting humans to ever live.
Yes.
Which is cool.
Who they turn into a Gambit figure in this.
Mon ami.
And, you know, like your Q, you know, in James Bond terms is Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, and like Rick and Morty fans everywhere, you can suck his dick.
Yeah.
And
he'll hate it.
Yeah. He won't care for it. But, you know, you're in the order.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the pacing of this, you know, the kind of 3-minute long cutscenes. It also ends, as like a superhero origin.
Uh-huh.
He ends with you on a Batman.
It ends with Batman, like the end of Batman Begins.
Yes.
Yeah. almost literally, like from the color, from the color palette, down to just him looking out over the city shot from behind. Like, it's literally Batman.
It's his city. And if you think you're going to get, you know, vengeance on the main antagonist of the story, you got another thing coming. That doesn't happen in this game.
No,
you don't get it. It won't happen any other time.
Mm-hmm.
They originally did plan to have more.
Yeah.
So the it's made by Ready at Dawn. They're known as a sub studio for Sony. Their first published games were Daxter and then the God of War prequels for the PSP. All well thought of, specifically those God of War prequels. I remember those getting tons of good press. I played a couple of them and they do feel like God of War on the PSP, which was very impressive. But this was their shot at the big leagues.
This was a huge step. This was them being put forward to kind of make this tentpole franchise, right?
Yes.
They began working on it in 2010 and revealed it in 2013 as a showcase, kind of this jewel in the crown of the PlayStation 4. And I will say this, this does at least look and present as something that would have been much more awkward and a little bit less satisfying on the PS3. Like, this is the first game that I remember being like, oh, that is a recognizable generational leap when I was looking at it.
It looks good. You know, and it definitely looks of its time in a good way, you know, non-derogatory. As we mentioned before, one of the reasons we're taking a crack at this is to provide good criticism of it, because the only things I've seen about it are bad criticism. Things about it being single player only. Who gives a fuck? Grow up. And that it's going to be locked to 30 frames per second. Who gives a fuck? Grow up.
That single player only, like, by 2015, that was like a little bit of a dangling, like, it kind of passed its time, people weren't levying that against something, but I think, you know, it was still happening. And here, it, like, that was compounded on top of it being as short as it was. This isn't going to be this is not a live service game. They didn't do the BioShock 2 thing where they shopped it out to a different studio for like a multiplayer mode that was going to be unpopulated in 3 months.
We wouldn't be able to talk about now anyway. We might be able to find YouTube of somebody who had a home server running or something. You know, like it would have been ephemeral. And ultimately doesn't matter.
Big thing that ultimately defined the framing around this was pre-release a video was leaked. It was a full-length playthrough that showed a total length of about 5 hours. This was obviously somebody internal, so they were playing it well. You know, and not necessarily, you know, dying, restarting things, exploring, poking around. It was like a kind of an optimized playthrough. And that, you know, before this even had a chance to like meet the market, really, you know, set the terms of all evaluation of this basically to this day.
We were alive during this. We were doing the podcast during this. I remember this. Living it, this setting off a gamer storm. What a horrible thing to have happen, to have the full playthrough release and just make it this inflection point. And you can see it talked about, you can read about it in interviews and stuff. The game's founder, the developer's founder, Weerasuriya talks about this, saying like, listen, you know, there needs to be a place for short games. And I'm like, yes. And then they're like, you know, you want quantity or quality over quantity. I'm like, and then I played The Order 1886. I was like, oh man.
Yeah. I played The Order 1886 and I'm like, I don't remember asking you a goddamn thing. don't argue for something that I like with this week's sauce, dude.
Yeah. It does end up being, but here's the thing, right? Would this be better if it's twice as long?
God, no.
Yeah.
No.
It is still kind of an argument for our side of the argument. Like this, if this had a multiplayer that was The Order 1886 multiplayer, like, you just take two shooting galleries who opened up next to each other, they're just facing each other across a highway, and that's the multiplayer. And if the main campaign took 18 hours, it'd be torturous.
It'd be awful if you were doing all of this same stuff, right? Yes. I think this would only be like an argument in our favor. Like, oh, would you rather hold your hand on the stove for 30 seconds or 30 minutes?
Yes.
Well, okay. I mean, I'd rather not hold my hand on the stove at all. Why are we having a discussion? Why do we have to settle for the hand on the stove?
Yes.
Right? Like, it's only technically correct.
And this thing that came out that people did not know was a stove were just like, I don't want to hold my hand on that. You only get to hold your hand on it for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
you know, which is ludicrous. Like any of the charm that I found in this would have died with an hour and a half more of playtime.
Mm-hmm.
Like would have just absolutely died on the vine. Like it is longer than it can really support because it's not a complete game.
And also it's repetitive, right?
It is
incredibly, and just like they weren't showing me anything new. There was no like last minute power, power bump, right? No victory lap or anything like this. It was just basically the same stuff on repeat over and over until it ended.
Yeah, no escalation. Even it doesn't have like the modal Half-Life thing where it's like this area is about this area, this area is about this. And again, my goal is not to make anybody like The Order. It's to make you like other games less. Think about how many games also that do the same thing for a long time, mm-hmm. but then also don't escalate, but are still content to be like 12 hours. You know, like they'll escalate a little bit in difficulty, but you're still doing the basic thing at the beginning as you're doing at the end.
Yeah.
You know, there's no difference. Like, mm-hmm. why is that okay there and not here? Because they add other stuff to fool you. They throw pocket sand at you and you're like, oh, there's a crafting system in this as well. So I guess it's a little bit more complicated and good. You know, I don't know. I think this is very useful in terms of thinking about games because it is a weird unit of crapulence. So they got purchased by Oculus Studios in 2020. So they're currently under Facebook and Meta. You know how Facebook and Meta are doing awesome, and how we cover meta games all the time.
Right. The game that they developed that got them bought from that apparently is really good. Lone Echo. Where you're like a robot navigating around like a derelict space station by like grappling out and dragging yourself through it. Mm-hmm. Apparently that's pretty good. Five people have played it.
Yes.
So
yeah, more people have seen UFO. More people have seen a Lycan.
Mm-hmm. And there's no real hope for another entry in this, even though it does end on this kind of sequel hook. Sony owns the property. Ready at Dawn is now a VR studio working for a completely different company. And like, even though the creators, they're a little bit contrite about the way that this turned out, but like they recognize what it is. Cosmic Gumbo, etc. It was a pretty big embarrassment all around. It kind of came out, didn't make that big of a splash. It was the subject of a lot of jokes, and just not really a huge huge appetite, I think, for you to get this here. So we're not gonna learn of Grayson and Igraine makeup, right?
No, we're not gonna see do the open world game where you're Galahad doing Batman shit.
Right.
Versus the Lycans of Victorian London, which sounds kind of fine. Mm-hmm. About the best I can say about it. No. Weird fucking game. That's really it for the generalities. We will talk about the specifics of the plot, which is where the heart is in the full episode.
Yes.
To get that, you become a patron. Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. $5 a month gets you that.
Yeah. Gets you all the other premium episodes we've done. Which is plenty by now. I need to update my count on that, but I think it is more than like 60 of them at this point. So go and check those out and whole other shows. We're close to launching Real Lich Hours, our podcast about Baldur's Gate 3, which is going to be real exciting. It's going to be on the same tier as the premium episodes here. We encourage you to avail yourself of it.
Yes. Recommend it. You can also leave us ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict. You can tell your friends, and you can join us in thanking Gwen, our producer.
Thank you, Gwen. If you have thoughts about this game, it is too late to write in. However, if you have thoughts about December's games, which are Mass Effect 1 or Slayers X Terminal Aftermath Vengeance of the Slayers, go to duckfeed.tv/contact and write in by December the 15th get your thoughts in about those titles. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please separate them into multiple responses and, keep them brief, 2-3 paragraphs. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And join us next week as we do our dispatch and we announce what's happening in January of 2024. Mm-hmm. December 1st through 3rd, 10th annual Duck Stream, our charity live stream. So mark your calendars, go to the website, buy the shirt, give us money, watch, tell your friends.
Yes.
Not us money. Give us money to give to the Transactive Gender Project out of Lewis and Clark College.
Yes. It is a good cause, 10th annual. Even if you cannot give, we understand. Just being in the chat, keeping us company, spreading mm-hmm. the word, all of that helps out the cause. It's always a good time. It's going to be a good time. Come enjoy it with us.
Yeah. Enjoy upwards of 4 complete playthroughs of The Order 1886 over the course of one weekend.
No, that's not what I'm doing.
No, I figured you might do that. You'd get better at it eventually. Get down to that 5-hour, get down to that single segment speed run time of 4 hours on YouTube. The speed run that is 2/3 the length of the regular run.